Hello, my friends, and welcome to the Seeds and Weeds podcast, brought to you by Small House Farm. If you're looking to celebrate plants and the people that love them, then this is the podcast for you. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Bevan Cohen. Hello again, and welcome back to the podcast. We've got another great show lined up for you today. Our guest is going to be Mel Mutterspa, and she's going to be joining us for Ask the Herbalist, where she'll be answering all of your herb-related questions. I'll also be sharing my top five herbs for the tea garden, and at the end of the episode, I'm going to give you a recipe for golden milk, which is from my book, The Artisan Herbalist. Before we get into that, though, some updates from here on Small House Farm. My event schedule is about to get started already. On February 11th, I'm going to be joining a panel on seed exchanges for the 11th Annual Seed Library Summit. It's a virtual event, so if you're interested in seed libraries, you should totally join us. I'm going to put a link down in the show notes for you. The following week, I'm going to be headed down to Belton, Texas for the first Mother Earth News Fair of the year. Pretty excited about that. I'm hoping to have a chance to maybe snag some interviews for the podcast while I'm down there, but either way, I know it's going to be a great time. If I get in any shenanigans, I'll be sure to tell you about it in some future episodes. I also want to take a minute to say thanks again to those of you that have decided to support the podcast by joining our Patreon. Putting together a podcast is a lot of work, and it's not something that I get paid to do, so your financial support is really what makes all of this possible. If you like the podcast and you want to help us keep it going, please consider supporting us at patreon.com/smallhousefarm. All right, that's enough for the telethon portion of the show. Here's my top five herbs for the tea garden. There's nothing much better than a hot cup of herbal tea on a cold winter day, especially if those herbs were grown right in our garden. Now, this top five list was difficult to put together. I mean, there's just so many great herbs to choose from. To help narrow down my scope, I only considered cultivated herbs. Even though there is an abundance of wild plants out there that we could gather for a tea, I tried to stick with plants that we grow right here in our gardens. Now, this could be different for you depending on where you live. Some of these plants that I might be discussing actually grow wild in your area. But for me here in Michigan, if I want to work with these plants, I need to grow them in my garden. I also wanted to stick with plants that are easy to grow and could be included in your garden almost no matter where you might live. Either way, this easily could have been a top 10 list, so it was definitely a challenge. But here we go. My top five herbs for the tea garden. Coming in at number five, we have rosemary. Anyone that knows me knows I'm a big fan of rosemary, so of course it's going to make it onto the list. It has a piney, resinous flavor, and it pairs well with things like mint. I also like to add it to my green tea for an interesting flavor twist. Rosemary tea is said to reduce anxiety, improve concentration, and memory, which is something we could all benefit from, right? My number four herb for the tea garden, chamomile. Now, most of us are familiar with chamomile's relaxing effect. It certainly is a calming herb with the flavor I find reminiscent of apples and honey. There's two distinct species of chamomile available to the gardener. There's Roman chamomile, Chamomillum nobile, and German chamomile, Matriarcha chamomilla. Now, the flavor profiles of these two herbs, they're quite similar, and they're often used in tea interchangeably, but it's in the garden where we're most likely going to notice the difference between these two plants. Roman chamomile is a low-growing perennial herb, while the German chamomile is an erect annual plant. Here at Small House, we grow the annual German chamomile, but either species is a great option. At number three, we have mint. Now, there's many different species and cultivars of mint, and they're all great choices for the tea garden, so I'm kind of including all of them here at number three. Peppermint, spearmint, chocolate mint, whatever it might be. Although these different mints all have different flavor profiles, and even different ways that they're used medicinally, they all grow pretty much the same, abundantly and aggressively. Once you have mint in your garden, you will always have mint in your garden. But, you know, that's okay. Mint's pretty much amazing. Try something new this year. Visit your local herb seller and see what kind of cultivars of mint they have available. And who knows, you might even find your next favorite herbal tea. Number two on our top five herbs for the tea garden is lemon balm. Oh, yes. It's Melissa officinalis. I got to tell you, lemon balm was almost my number one here. I just love it. I love it so much. It's a member of the mint family, and although it doesn't spread like peppermint, once your lemon balm's established in the garden, it's not going anywhere. As the name implies, the herb has a delightful lemony fragrance and flavor, and it makes a great hot tea, but I also love it as an iced tea in the summertime. Lemon balm tea is good for anxiety and stress. It's relaxing, promotes a good night's sleep. I also think the lemon balm increases joy. You know, I've never seen anybody smelling or tasting lemon balm that doesn't immediately break out into a big smile. If you're not already growing it, make plans to include lemon balm in your garden this year. And here we go, folks. And our number one herb for the tea garden is going to be holy basil. Now, not to be confused with the Genovese basil that you're using to make pesto. Holy basil is a completely different species. It's Osmium tenuiflorum. It's a highly valued herb. It's been used medicinally for centuries for things like stress, anxiety, digestive complaints, to calm the nerves, and so much more. It also happens to be delicious. It has a sweet, citrusy flavor, and it's perfect brewed on its own or when blended with practically any other herbs. It's a perennial in its native India, but here in Michigan, we have to grow it as an annual. Holy basil is also what's known as an adaptogen, meaning that this tea will help your body cope with the effects of stress and inflammation. And that is why it is our number one herb for the tea garden. There it is. There we are. My top five herbs for the tea garden. If you haven't yet, try these herbs in your tea blends. Grow them, harvest them, brew them into tea, and love them. Today, we're sitting down with Mel Mutterspa for a segment called Ask the Herbalist. Mel is a clinical herbalist, host of the Herbalist Path podcast. She's an environmental educator and founder of Apothecary Mamas, an online herbal mentorship just for moms. And she's a mother herself, living in the foothills of Mount Hood, Oregon. Her passion for herbalism came from her deep love of nature and a determination to do what she can to protect it for future generations. That being said, when she's not playing with plants, you can find her outside playing with plants. Mel, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. I am so excited to have you here.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here. It's so much fun. When I heard you were doing a podcast, I was like, yeah, Bevan, do that. It's exciting. So thanks for having me.
You were on my short list to be on the show too, for sure. You know, I was on your podcast, The Herbalist Path. It was, you know, fall of 2021, I think, maybe October, I want to say. So for me, it is just super exciting to be able to, now I have a podcast and I get to invite you on my show.
Isn't it fun? Thanks for having me. I'm honored.
Thank you so much. All right. So well, the segment we're going to do here is just Ask an Herbalist. So folks have sent them some questions. So I've got a selection of questions that folks want to ask their favorite herbalist, Mel. And today you are our favorite herbalist.
Yay.
Are you ready to do it?
I think so. Pressure's on.
Pressure is on. Before we get started, though, just for the folks at home, tell us a little bit about yourself and the work that you do.
Sure. Well, you already know my name is Mel. I live in the foothills of Mount Hood in Oregon with my puppies and my 9-year-old daughter. I am a clinical herbalist by training. I ran an herbal product line for a long time, an herbal apothecary. But today I focus on teaching moms and grandmas how to use plants as medicine in a really safe and effective way. So as you said, I have a podcast, The Herbalist Path. And then I have an online herbal mentorship for moms called Apothecary Mamas. And I am also about to launch my Medicine Making Mamas, which is more of a solid program with all the systems and processes to make your herbal remedies in the most safe and effective and fun ways.
Super groovy. So, well, you are the perfect person to have on the show today then, for sure. And we're going to be sure to put all the links for all the things you got going on down in the show notes too. So first question, with cold and flu season quickly approaching, what herbal recommendations do you have for folks that are looking to boost their immune system and stay healthy?
Ooh, Bevan, this might be one that you semi-regret asking me. So boost the immune system, I definitely have some great herbal recommendations, but I want to back up a little bit. And I want to talk about what you can do to support the immune system all year long, instead of just always looking to stimulate the immune system. Because if you think about stimulating things, it's like a cup of coffee, right? It stimulates your nervous system. But for the remainder of the year, there are herbs that you can turn to that are more of like a regular workout or a really nourishing diet for your immune system. And those are immunomodulating herbs. There's quite a few you can choose from. Some of my favorites, one would be ashwagandha root. It's also a great adaptogenic herb. And these immunomodulators are herbs that you can kind of take for the long term. Most of them you want to take all year round. I love tulsi for this. I love reishi mushrooms. I could go on in that. So I'm just going to leave it at those three for immunomodulators. And then yes, when it comes time to boost or stimulate the immune system, you want to turn to your immune stimulants. Echinacea, elderberry syrup. The elderberries have actually been shown to fight off over 10 different flu viruses.
I love it, Mel. I don't regret asking that question at all. That was a perfect answer. That's exactly the information that people need. So I appreciate that. Okay, next question. If you could only have three herbs in your apothecary, what would they be and why?
First, I'm going to cry. I want more herbs. No, I'm joking. Number one is plantain. And I love it for so many different reasons. Its biggest claim to fame is for like bug bites and bee stings and all the itchy skin things, which it's amazing. It's also great as a wound healer. So if you get cuts and citrus grapes, things like that. Plantain is totally your friend. Another thing outside of its medicinal properties that I love about plantain is it's readily available. I also love it for respiratory tract infections. It's cooling and coating. It's a demulcent herb, meaning exactly that, cooling and coating. And I love plantain for tooth and mouth infections. Another one that I love, and this was tough, I had a toss up, but I'm going to go with echinacea. And as I just spoke about, echinacea is a phenomenal immune stimulant, but that's what people know it for the most, right? Yeah. It's really cool for that, but it's cool for so many other things. Echinacea is an amazing antimicrobial herb. So that means it's going to fight viruses and bacteria and fungal infections. A simple wash with some echinacea tea or tincture can be amazing at helping to fight off that infection. Echinacea is also a great lymphatic herb. Echinacea is amazing there as well. Just make sure if you're not growing your own echinacea and harvesting that herb on your own, make sure you're buying it from a farmer who does put all that love and energy back into the ground.
Absolutely. I appreciate you saying that. I think that that's so important. Now, echinacea is a pretty easy herb to grow for sure, but not everybody has the space or time to grow their plants. So it is important if we have to source herbs to make sure that we're doing that responsibly as well.
Heck yes, for sure. Should I go on to number three?
Yes, ma'am. Please do.
I'm going to go with ashwagandha here. As we talked about, it's a great immunomodulator. So it's going to strengthen and support the immune system and keep it ready to rock and roll when it does come time for your immune system to wake up and fight the bad guys, right? It is an herb that I've developed a really special relationship with. For me, I went through some really stressful times learning to run a product business where I was under chronic stress, and I used ashwagandha as like my best friend.
That's a fantastic answer. You know, I know how difficult it is to just choose three herbs. Nobody can see me, obviously, but I'm over here fist pumping and cheering for your choices. That was great. Okay, next question then. In your practice, Mel, are most of the herbs that you use foraged, purchased, or grown in your garden?
Such a good question. And I am a bit of a combination of all of them. I started out like growing and foraging everything. Then I had an herbal products business kind of grow whether I knew what I was doing or not. And I came to a point where I didn't have the time to grow and process everything in the ways that I wanted to. I have since closed that product line because I really love to focus on teaching. So I do a lot of foraging as well. I have my stands of plants that are some of my besties that I know where to go every year to get them and process them in whatever ways are necessary. I currently have a very small chunk of land that I live on, and it's very sandy soils and very, very tree covered. So it's hard for me to grow a lot of my herbs right now, sadly. I really love to support small local organic farmers.
I dig it. So what advice do you have for people that are just looking to begin their herbal journey?
Take it easy. I think that it's really important to learn from people who have been there and done that, whether you're just listening to podcasts or watching their YouTube channels, or you can invest in learning with somebody and kind of take that fast track. Also, start with one or just a few plants at a time and get to know the many different uses of each and every one of those plants. One other thing, remember that not every herb is good for you just because it's good for your mom and your kid. It doesn't work that way. Herbs are different, and you are unique, and your body is unique, and the way that they're going to work with you is different than your buddies.
Last question then. What are some of your favorite herb books?
Oh my gosh. If you guys could see me right now, I have like a wall of books right behind me. Really, anything by Rosemary Gladstar is a fantastic find and choice. I have Rosemary Gladstar's Herbal Recipes for Vibrant Health is a fantastic place to start your herbal learning journey. Rosemary is just a beautiful human. If you've never had the pleasure of meeting her or taking a class with her, she's like a beautiful forest garden fairy of love. So that one's really good. Of course, people need your seed saving book because don't you want to regenerate all this stuff and do it sustainably? I really like Rosalie de la Ferre's Alchemy of Herbs as well. There's a lot of fun ways to cook and use food and plants as medicine.
And those are good choices. Those are good choices. I've got all of those books here on my bookshelf as well behind me.
Nice.
And I love what you said about Rosemary Gladstar. It's so spot on. That's so true.
Isn't it? She just floats like this beautiful fairy goddess. She's really lovely.
She is really lovely, for sure. All right, Mel, that's it for Ask a Herbalist today. What are the links and how do we find you online for everybody that wants to follow up with you and stay connected in the future?
Yeah, you can find me at theherbalistpath.com. That herbalist has an S at the end of it, so it's plural. I'm on Instagram at theherbalistpath. I've been rocking TikTok for the last year or so, which is crazy. Never thought I'd be there, but it's been really, really fun. Facebook, The Herbalist Path. Pinterest, The Herbalist Path. My YouTube channel, The Herbalist Path. There's a trend here. I'm in all the places, The Herbalist Path.
I think I'm sensing the trend. Well, Mel, thank you so much. We're going to put all those links in the show notes, of course. Again, thank you very much for being here. And until next time, happy growing, my friend.
Thank you so much, Bevan. It's been an absolute pleasure and honor and joy. I'm excited to tune into your show.
Oh man, that was so much fun. We're definitely going to have to bring Mel back on the show again sometime. And remember, I put all of her links down in the show notes so you can find her and stay in touch with her in the future for sure. If you've got any questions that you would like to ask an herbalist in future shows, please let us know. You can send them in. We'll ask your questions right here on the podcast. Now you can send me your questions through our website, which is seedsandweedspodcast.com. Or if you're tuning in via YouTube, you can just drop your questions down in the comments there on this video. Now we're going to wrap up the show today with an easy to make recipe for golden milk, which you can also find in my book, The Artisan Herbalist. Golden milk is a traditional Indian beverage that has been enjoyed since antiquity. It's warming, spicy, and delicious. It's thought that drinking golden milk can reduce inflammation, lower blood sugar levels, boost the immune system, support brain function, and improve the memory. Okay, so golden milk might just be the perfect drink, and it's very simple to make. You'll need 3 cups of milk. Now, you can use a dairy alternative, oat milk, almond milk. I think that's just as delicious. You'll also need 1.5 teaspoons of ground turmeric, 1 teaspoon of freshly sliced ginger, a cinnamon stick, and 1/4 teaspoon of whole black peppercorns. Put the milk in a saucepan, warm it over low heat. Add the spices and simmer until hot. It takes about 5 minutes. Now make sure that you don't let the milk boil. Then turn off the heat, cover, and I like to let it steep for an additional 5 minutes. Then strain and serve. This recipe will make 2 delicious servings. You can find more herbal recipes, just like this one, in my book, The Artisan Herbalist, which is available at smallhousefarm.com and everywhere else the books are sold. Enjoy! And that's the show, my friends. Thank you again for being a part of the fun. Big thanks to Mel Mutterspa for joining us today. This show was written, edited, and produced by all of us here at Small House Farm. And remember, you can always support the podcast via Patreon. That link and many more can be found at seedsandweedspodcast.com. The music you're enjoying right now is called Disco Grooves by Cube Sounds. I'm Bevan Cohen, and we'll see you next time. Howdy, friends. Bevan here. You know, the Seeds and Weeds podcast is made possible in part by Baker Creek Heirloom Seed Company, rareseeds.com. They're America's top source for rare and heirloom varieties from around the world, and they're publisher of the whole seed catalog. Their 2024 catalog is chocked full of heirloom goodness, new varieties, recipes, stories, and gorgeous photographs. You can order yours now at rareseeds.com.